Proverbs chapter 2, verse 10, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee. I want to stop there. Let's read verse 10 again. Well, I want you to get this. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and what? Knowledge is. Now, I want some of you kids, and when I'm up here preaching wisdom, it looks like I'm making you take castor oil. Honestly, you just look like you're just being persecuted every time a preacher stands up, opens the Word of God, and tries to teach you wisdom. Until wisdom becomes pleasant. Do you get that? Knowledge, wisdom, when wisdom entereth into thine heart. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We can preach and teach it all we want. But until you open the door of your heart and let it enter in, it doesn't do you a bit of good. And until knowledge, are you getting this? Until knowledge becomes pleasant to your soul. It's not until those things happen that discretion shall preserve thee and understanding shall keep thee. And I don't know how the devil's so good at what he's doing. I really don't. I don't understand how he can get in the heart of Christian young people and get an attitude towards the Word of God. Folks, young people, this is the Word of God. I'm not up here talking about what Brother Jerry Ross thinks. This is the Word of God. And most young people, you can almost predict their future in accordance to their attitude and their acceptance and their embracing of godly wisdom as it's taught from the pulpit. But notice this. Why is it important that you have a heart change? If you need one, maybe you don't. But if you need one, why is it important for you to have a heart change towards wisdom and what the book of Proverbs teaches and all of these things? Because, verse 12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. Now they're talking to the young ladies right now. To deliver you from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things, who lead the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they forward in their paths. Now, also then, there's a secondary reason. Verse 12, to deliver thee from the way of this evil man. Verse 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman. And that's who we're going to focus on tonight. Even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Heavenly Father, please, we need help here, dear God. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to become educated and be reminded. Most of what I've teach tonight, I've taught in some format in the past. Lord, repetition, the key of learning. You sure repeat a lot of things in the Bible. Different places, different books, use different men to write a lot of the same things. You know we need to hear some things over and over and over again. May we take it seriously, God. Lord, I pray for the men of our church. I pray that you build a hedge about their hearts. Give them wisdom and discretion in their daily interaction with people. Help them to understand that the devil has his strange women out there that he has given a mission to, and that is to destroy the godly man. Help our young men to be wise enough to take these truths today and listen to them. Protect our young ladies, the evil men that are out there. And Lord, they're out and about. And they have a satanic goal, and that's to destroy the purity and the innocence of good, godly young ladies. May our young ladies have a heart for wisdom. May knowledge become pleasant to their soul. Even tonight, may they embrace enthusiastically the precepts and principles of the Word of God that offer us protection. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to talk about the strange woman tonight. We're going to go through a little bit, kind of go through quickly. I taught not too long ago through Proverbs chapter 7, but I'm going to hit some of that again. But Let me say this, and I've given most of my introduction, but I believe that every lady needs to intimately understand the strange woman. You need to study her. You need to dissect her attributes. You need to understand her mindset. Some people in the Bible you'll study so that you can emulate them. This woman you need to study so that you'll never become her. The female that I'm talking of is known in the book of Proverbs as the strange woman. Proverbs reveals some pretty distinct details concerning the strange woman. Wisdom, knowledge, discretion, understanding guard you from following her path. In the scriptures that we read, it's interesting to note that she was afforded a choice to become something other than what she is. Did you notice that? Did you get that? Notice that in her youth, she had a godly guide. At one time, she could have entered into a covenant with God. There was opportunity to choose a better path and to live by better principles. Instead, she forsook the guide of her youth and forgot the covenant of her God. And turning her back on what light God had provided for her, she chose instead to plunge down a dark path away from biblical femininity and towards, instead, devilish debauchery. The 7th chapter of Proverbs gives us an eyewitness account of the strange woman at work. I'm going to have you turn over there now. Chapter 2, I mostly wanted to point out that we need to be wise and accept wisdom to protect ourselves from these people. Now, I don't want to go on and on about this, but boy, my heart is, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm brokenhearted tonight. I just am. I'm sick and tired of the devil winning in this area and taking out good people and good Christians. And I'm sick of hearing another story about another pastor, another story about another Sunday school teacher, another story about, listen, even in this own, in our own ministry, there are men that ought to be sitting in this room tonight, actively being used of God, but you know what? They fell prey to a strange woman. There ought to be young ladies that are living for God and all of that, but you know what? They fell prey to the evil man. And you need to listen. Preacher, I don't need this. If you think that, then you are the one that needs it the most. This is one area of your life you cannot afford to give the devil one inch. One foothold in your life. And it's very important that you understand this person. Now, young men, a strange woman does not show up with a little sign around her neck that says, I'm a strange woman. But if you're, and by the way, she's going to have a nice personality. And a lot of times she's going to be good looking. And she's going to seem like a nice girl. And if you want to be blinded to the things that are right in front of you, you can blind yourself to them. But you'll be simple and you'll be another victim. Let's look at the attributes of the strange woman in Proverbs chapter number 7. Number one, she's a predator. She's a predator. And by the way, young ladies, if I'm taking notes, I'm a young lady, I just put evil man, and I put all of these same attributes, because all of these same attributes is going to protect you from the evil man. In chapter 7, the young man in this chapter is identified as one void of understanding. He's one of the simple ones. This is who she targets for destruction. Who does she get, preacher? Oh, the young man right now that's daydreaming. Or the husband in this room that doesn't think this is important for him. That's who she gets. The simple ones. The ones that don't embrace wisdom. The ones that don't set up the safeguards in their life. The strange woman at one time made a choice to refuse a holy path and a godly lifestyle. Her misery now wants company. So these type of women, I want you guys to understand this, and you young ladies understand it. There is a evil man and a strange woman out there that takes great delight in targeting church kids and church men and happily married church men and happily married church ladies. See, for some reason in their perverted thinking, it's a trophy that they can take out somebody that is religious or a Christian or of good reputation. So the first attribute of the strange woman is that she wants others to fall into the same shame and sin that now defines her. She targets innocent, The evil man targets innocent young men, simple young men, seeking to influence them away from God. You say, preacher, that word predator just seems pretty strong. If you want to hold your finger and go over to Proverbs chapter 23, it's well worth you seeing these verses. You ought to underline them. She said, preacher, she just happened to be where he was. Proverbs 23 gives us some more information about this woman. Proverbs 23, verse 27, for a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lieth in wait as for a prey, and increaseth the transgressors among men. So the first thing you have to understand, you better get this young man. It's not every girl that stops and pays you some attention and flirts with you has noble intentions. Young ladies, are you getting this? Are you listening to me? Okay. So number one, she's a predator. Number two, the strange woman is a woman of the night. In verses 8 and 9, passing through the street near her corner, he went the way to her house. Wind in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. Now, the time of day of this seduction is well worth noting. One of the attributes of the strange woman is her enchantment with the dark hours. Now, there's a practical lesson, and then I think that there's a spiritual lesson here. The practical lesson is this. Very simple. I won't spend a lot of time on it. Nighttime holds more danger and more risk of evil than daytime hours. Okay, now a wise young man just embraced that. A wise young lady just embraced that. They got that. They delighted in that knowledge. Thank you, preacher. I needed that. A wise young lady doesn't wander around aimlessly after dark. She doesn't go cruising. She doesn't hang out in a parking lot up here somewhere after lights are out. Okay? After dark, where is she? She's at home or at church, or she's got a job, she's at work, or at a well-planned, well-chaperoned activity. That's where she's at. But she just doesn't go hang out. Now, young men, if you get in the habit of doing that, you're going to meet some strange women. Young ladies, you get in the habit of that. Wait a minute. Why are you bugging mom and dad? Why do you want a curfew of 11 o'clock? What do you need to be doing till 11 o'clock? What do you need to be doing till 10 o'clock? By the way, who just sends their kids out and say, go roam and be home at this hour? Well, what are we thinking? Okay, that's worldly philosophy. That's not biblical philosophy. I want to go with my friend. Where are you going? Well, we're just going to go to Terre Haute. Well, why? Well, we need to get something. Okay, let's go to Linton. I'll take you right now. What do you need again? All right, you don't need to just go. Hey, listen, Christian kids aren't mall rats. Christian kids aren't mall rats. They're not going to be just wandering around up there. Hanging out. Well, I just want to go hang out. I just want to go hang out. You're going to get yourself in trouble. See, strange woman, the evil men, they're people of the night. Now, practical lesson is this. When the lights dim and God starts turning the sun off, then you know what? Get home. Get home. Amen. Good place to be. Spiritual lessons abound. Isn't it interesting what God says? 1 John 1, I'll read these to you. This is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. 1 Thessalonians 5:4, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of hope of salvation. Well, I hope you're getting this. Amen. God is light. A young lady dedicated to adopting a proper biblical femininity seeks to walk in the light of God's Word.
The Bible truly becomes a lamp unto her feet and a light to her path. She's not looking to hang out in the shadows, on the fringes. Okay, I like the fact that we got this lighting out here. There's a reason we put lighting. Oh, that's so we don't run over little kids. It's also so teenagers got less places to find little dark patches somewhere and just hang out together. That shouldn't be happening around the church house, you see. Strange woman seeks and embraces darkness, foolishly thinking that it hides her wickedness from observation. But you know what? God can see in the dark. Number three, the strange woman dresses in the attire of a harlot. Look at verse 10. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtile of heart. If you took all of these attributes, and I was going to say this at the end, but let me say them now. Once you put all these down on a piece of paper and look at them, and then if you were to look at the cutting-edge popular people in Hollywood and music and movies and all of this, folks, let me just say this. Our culture has elevated the strange woman in front of our young ladies as the role model of what to be. Every single attribute, it runs down just perfectly. And our young ladies, if we're not careful, not our young ladies, but young ladies in our community, idolize strange women. They want to dress like that. It doesn't say in this portion of Scripture that she's a harlot. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot. So, you know what? There's young ladies, I've watched Christian young ladies. I'm not calling them a harlot, but I can tell you this, I've watched some of them dress like a harlot. What it does say is that she purposefully dresses to draw men's eyes to her body. Her attire advertises her disdain for chastity and purity and suggests to men that she's open for seduction. Now, let me just give you something practical, and then I'll let the aged ladies teach the younger. But there's a huge difference in clothing that makes you look feminine and clothing that makes you look sexy. Christian ladies should choose carefully what they wear, selecting clothes that quiet her womanly form, making her look feminine but not cheap. Okay, and by the way, we're going to get on this in a little bit. After I get done, did I finish it Sunday night? My series on good, I did. But I'm going to teach probably two or three Sunday nights here, and I don't know if I'll start it a week from Sunday or not. But I'm going to teach on what the Bible has to say about dress, and I'm going to take two or three Sunday nights and go through it painstakingly. There's too many of our young people that are being I'm talking about kids that grew up here, were taught right, whatever, and you're being influenced by a bunch of cliches that are being thrown around, and you need to get grounded scripturally and biblically on why we stand where we do when it comes to dress, and God has plenty to say about it, and God ought to be heard, and the Bible ought to be heard, and ought to be obeyed. So we're going to try to educate you. I'll do it kindly. I promise you, I'll do it kindly. But we need to hear it. We need to be aware of it. We need to stop listening to carnal, backslidden Christians who don't want any absolutes in their life and therefore attack anything that the Bible says when it comes to thou shalt or thou shalt not. Young ladies, if you're going to be virtuous, then be virtuous in your dress. And if you're going to do that, you're going to have to bypass most of the styles of this culture. By the way, that's frustrating. Shopping becomes a chore. Amen, ladies? The world has dedicated itself to providing a vast array of strange woman attire and very little that a discerning, dedicated Christian young lady can wear. It's just a fact. I was you young ladies, I tell you what, I'd get with grandma or auntie or mama and I'd sit down and learn how to use a sewing machine because it isn't going to get any better. It's not going to get any better. Listen, just because it's hard to find the right stuff is no excuse to drop your standard. Femininity, biblical femininity, does not compromise in this area. Number four, strange woman possesses a subtile heart. Behold, there met him, verse 10, back to chapter 7, verse 10, there met him a woman, subtile of heart, the Bible says. That's the phrase found in that verse. The word subtile means concealed or hidden. I'm going to say something, I'm not going to spend time on this. Boy, this is important. What I am going to say, the few seconds I'm going to take here, don't miss it. Within her heart, she carries hidden motives. She's deceitful and deceptive.
This makes her untrustworthy. Now, young ladies, when you get these little hidden agendas, hidden motives, when part of your character begins to become a deceitfulness and a deceptiveness when it comes to whether or not you're completely transparent with your mama and your daddy and those in authority in your life, then you're taking on the attribute of a strange woman. You see, a young lady, a biblical young lady, she has a pure heart, not a subtle heart. Okay? Your motives and manner of life should be honest and honorable. I don't think there's anything that dims the countenance of a young lady, steals her smile, and pollutes her preciousness like deceit. Don't be sneaky. Don't be sneaky. Be open and honest with the people in your life that love you. You ought to be transparent with your parents about every relationship in your life. I'm going to tell you about a little girl that grew up here, and I'm proud of her. And she's finishing Bible college and married Jesse. But Cameron, I want to talk to you a little bit about Heather. And I try not to spend a lot of time just grabbing a kid, and I try not to put them on pedestal. It seems like every time you put a kid on the pedestal, the devil tries to knock them off. But something her mother told me I'll never forget. I went to see Heather in the hospital. I don't even know why she was in the hospital. But we went to see her over at Solomon. She was in the hospital, and she was a teenage girl around here. We heard she was put in the hospital, so we went to see her. Her mama was there. And we were visiting in that hospital room. Me and my wife was visiting this young lady and her mother. And something came up about something that happened in school. And she said, Heather came home and told me about that. And then she said this. She said, she tells me everything that happened. She says she comes home every day and sits down and tells me everything that happens. And I looked at this girl thing. This is a public school girl. I look over at her and she's like this. I keep no secrets from my mama. She knows everything that goes on in my life. Maybe there's a reason that girl made it through the public school system. Maybe there's a reason she ended up where she ended up. Now, young lady, I'm just telling you this. You get a sneaky heart. You get a deceitful heart. You start becoming deceptive and sneaky. You want to carry on these little relationships behind your parents' back. You are beginning to take on the attributes of the strange woman. Be open, be honest, be transparent with those in authority, with your parents. Be honest with yourself, be honest with your God. Number 5, the strange woman, chapter 7, verse 11, it says there, in the parentheses, she is loud. Hebrew word translated loud. Let me give you what it says there. To be disquieted, loud, mourn, be moved, make a noise, rage, roar, sound, be troubled, be in an uproar. So obviously, loud in this verse means more than the volume of your voice. Now, let me give you this. A troubled, subtle heart always begins to boil over. The strange woman laden with sin most often tries to mask her misery with verbal bluster. Her heart is in turmoil, and from the abundance of her heart, her mouth speaks. Now, you'll notice this. A pure lady, a pure-hearted young lady that is transparent, and there's not guilt, and there's not unconfessed sin, and there's not deceit, and there's not sneakiness. One of the things that you notice is that her pure heart produces sweet words. Words flow from an uncumbered spirit and blesses those that hear her. A feminine lady protects the purity of her heart, and the peace it produces anoints her words. The problem is when you begin to carry things in your heart, have secrets in your heart, next thing you know, what comes out of your mouth becomes more and more vile and more short and more upset and loud and cantankerous and aggressive. somebody that keeps a pure heart. It changes the way everything flows from it. Number six, a strange woman. Here it is, chapter 7, verse 11, is stubborn. 1 Samuel 15:23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and adultery. A strange woman turns stubbornly away from God's original intent for her life. She sets her course away from femininity and towards rebellion. Let me ask you a question, young lady. Come on. Has stubbornness crept into your life? You just gotten stubborn. Mama used to ask you to do something, and you'd, oh, yes, ma'am, rush to do it. Now when she asks you to do it, there's just this thing inside of you. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I shouldn't have to do that. God likens the sin of stubbornness to iniquity and idolatry. When a young man who was, a young lady who was created by God to be a companion and a helper to a young man, the young man God created for her, when she rejects that path, she makes an idol of her own will and becomes a servant to this new false god of selfishness. So the strange woman is stubborn, verse number 11. Verse 11 and 12 says, her feet abide not in her house. She is without now in the streets, waiteth in light at every corner. The strange woman disdains her home. Home to the strange woman is seen as a prison, a place from which to escape whenever possible. To a godly lady, her home is her sanctuary, a safe refuge, and a sacred responsibility. Modern day feminism holds stay-at-home moms in disdain. That's why I try to steer you ladies away from these daytime airwaves and daytime shows. Worldly women rule the daytime airwaves, boasting of their liberalism and their supposed liberty. By the way, take a quick peek behind the curtain of their personal lives. And you know what you'll see failed marriages and dysfunctional children and many times sexual perversions. And yet they thump their chest and belittle biblical femininity. Now, young lady, get this in your heart early. Embrace the role that God has created for you. Don't let anyone hold you in disdain for desiring to grow up and be a good wife and a godly mother. Never trade in your calling for a career. Make your husband your hero, your home your palace, and your children your priority. That's what a virtuous woman does. But the strange woman disdains her home. Number eight, the strange woman is a shameless flirt. I've seen this creep into some Christian girls. Proverbs 7:13, so she caught him and kissed him with an impudent face, said unto him, I have peace offerings with me this day, have I paid my vows, therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. That's a lie. She's just hanging on the corner waiting for any old idiot to come by. But all of a sudden, he's so special. Many a young lady in our culture, if you watch them, folks, they're patterning their behavior towards young men after the example of the strange woman. Can't keep their hands to themselves. Always wanting to touch the boys. By the way, turn this around, girls. How do you recognize an evil man? He wants to lay his hands on you. He wants to touch you. He wants to break down that barrier. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't know what the big deal is about people holding hands. Oh, my soul, if we hold hands, oh, my goodness. And they mock and scorn against that. Well, folks, listen to me. Come on. You want to lie to yourself, lie to yourself. But I've never met two teenagers that held hands and said, boy, this is good enough. We'll just do this for the next 3 years. We're good to go. No, pretty soon the thrill of that wears off, and then you've got to go do something else. Then you know that's why this whole idea of, well, I don't know if I believe in this no touch rule. Well, let me just tell you this. It is absolutely 100% Bible-based and is the safest way to see to it that you get to the marriage altar pure and clean. And the Bible says that it is good for a man not to touch a woman. The Bible says, he that knoweth to do good and knoweth it not, to him it is. Well, don't tell me it's not a sin to hold hands then. Amen. Bible says, "Good. It is good for a man not to touch one. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is
Okay, then don't come to me, oh, well, you guys act like a sinner. People hold hands.
Yeah, yeah, I do.
You know why? Because I'm not naive and I'm not foolish, and I know you can't get a kid, couple kids in their teens to hold hands and that's all they're going to do. And you want to lie to yourself? Lie to yourself. But you know, some of us are always left afterwards trying to pick up the pieces that are left. So just do right, young people. When somebody comes up to you and starts talking to you like that, next thing you know, you're believing it, you're falling for it. Don't listen to foolishness, listen to wisdom. Okay? The strange young lady, shameless flirt. They pursue the boys. They're always flirting with the boys. They're always hanging around the boys. Then pretty soon they're saying things they shouldn't say. Notice how her words begin to change, to become wicked. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is light, the reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Next thing you know, she's just saying these little borderline suggestive things, and he goeth as an ox to the slaughter. Proverbs 5:3, for the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as woodworm, sharp as a two-edged sword. Now, if you've got a young lady that starts saying things around you, young man, that could be taken wrong, you better figure out who she is. Oh, she's nice. She's a strange woman. Well, she touches, but she don't mean anything by it. She's a strange woman. She's a strange woman. As a godly young woman, you need to behave carefully around all men. Did you hear me? Your propriety will preserve your virtue. It's fine to be friendly, but anything other than a quick handshake, you know what? You just need to keep your hands to yourself, young men and young ladies. Number 9, the strange woman has no respect for marriage vows. Proverbs 7, notice what she says, verse 16, I've decked my bed with coverings of tapestry and carved works and fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves, for the good man is not at home. He has gone on a journey. What a wicked thing. You know what she was saying? My husband's out of town. Here's our opportunity. No respect for the marriage vow. Our men, let me say this. When we stand at the altar, we promised our wife something. Are you listening? Ladies, when you stood at the altar, you promised your husband something. That you'd keep yourself only to him or her as long as ye both shall live. That's the words we say here in this church when you get married. Are you hearing me? Okay, so respect those marriage vows. Our society is overrun with worldly women who think nothing of destroying their own marriage or someone else's marriage. I mean, everywhere. You know what this used to mean to women when you went wore it out? I'm taken, hands off, stay away. Let me tell you what it means to most of the women in the culture now. Oh, there's a challenge. Let's see if I can destroy that marriage. That's what it means. I mean, even men that weren't Christian men would look at a lady's hand if she saw a wedding band, would understand, okay, I better move on. I better look for greener pastures. Not anymore. Now it's a challenge. Okay? You took those vows before Almighty God. Keep those vows. Christian lady views marriage as honorable. She holds in high regard her wedding vows and would do nothing to put at risk her marriage or anybody else's marriage. So be very careful that you don't fall into the mindset of the world. Let me give you number 10. The strange woman rejoices in the destruction of the simple. Rejoices. Let not thine heart, verse 25, let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her path, for she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Now this is what a lot of times you young men don't understand. I'm going to be very honest with you. Please listen to me.
But once a strange woman has taken your purity and destroyed a lot of your potential future, she'll be done with you. What's the Bible say here? Many wounded, many strong men have been slain. She'll eventually begin to target someone else. Now she's bored with you. She did what she wanted to. She ruined you. She stole something precious from you. Now she's done. Next! Next! Young ladies, are you listening to me? That guy that's trying to get you to break the boundaries that you've set up, and let me tell you something. You're not the first one. And you are going to be the last one. I don't care what he tells you. Next! Destroying people becomes her perverted and profane mission in life. Some of these dumb guys leave a good Christian marriage to go chase somebody like this. Don't realize that, you know what? It ain't going to be long. Listen, you know, this is insanity. Can I just try to, I feel like sometimes I say this, come let us reason together, saith the Lord. Okay, I'm going to end this marriage and marry this woman because obviously she considers marriage vows sacred. Are you a ding-dong? She didn't have respect for your marriage vows. Why do you think if you say them to her, she's going to have respect for marriage vows? Good night. Destroying people becomes a perverted and profane mission. Like a trophy hunter, she takes her prey, mounts their heads in her hall of shame, and goes out hunting again. Better figure out who this is. No Christian lady would wish to live this type of life. True-hearted, God-blessed femininity holds in disdain the perverted ways of the strange woman. In a real sense, the strange woman becomes a co-laborer of Satan. Proverbs 5:5, flip it over there. Proverbs 5, verse 5. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. The goal of femininity is to glorify God. The goal of the strange woman is to populate hell. The virtuous woman is an ally of God. The strange woman is an agent of Satan. Now, let me put all this in a package and we'll review and then we'll pray and have an invitation, quick business meeting, and go home. Let's consider the biography of the strange woman. Let's review. She's turned her back on whatever light and spiritual opportunity she once had. She's a moral predator. She both literally and figuratively embraces darkness. She dresses seductively and talks and speaks suggestively. She has a deceitful heart. That's why you can't trust her. She's loud and obnoxious. She's stubborn. She holds in contempt her responsibilities at the home and the original intent of her creation. She has no respect for the institution of marriage. She's a flake, shameless flirt. She has given herself to the destruction of anyone simple or foolish enough to be influenced by her. She's allowed herself to partner and co-labor with Satan in destroying the innocent. Everything she is should be held in disdain by a Christian lady. A real Christian lady takes note of her character traits and determines to be just the opposite. Now consider carefully the attributes of the strange woman, young lady. Please take it seriously. A couple Wednesday nights from now, if the Lord tarries, and Lord willing, God gives us an opportunity, we're going to take the virtuous woman and set her up and take a look at her attributes. And you know what you're going to see? You're going to see that there is like light compared to darkness, the opportunities. Every one of you young ladies will decide at some point in your life whether to be a daughter of God or a daughter of this world. To be a virtuous woman or a strange woman. And I pray that your heart's open, receptive to what we've heard. Young men, don't be fools. Man, for every young man I've seen, throw away an entire future over some ding-dong. Then a few years later, she throws him to the curb. Boy, he can see it plain then. Man, he can see it plain then. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, you'd help us. God, I'm brokenhearted tonight. We have warning. We have the principles. They're right there. You described this danger in minute detail in our life. And yet, dear God, many, even a Christian man, in a time of temptation, throws away everything that he knows and a future of what he could be and all the influence that maybe he could have. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help our young men to exercise good biblical character and build safeguards in their life. I pray we have some young ladies that will just dedicate themselves to being a virtuous woman in every regard, that nothing of their life would resemble an attribute or a character trait of the strange woman. Lord, I pray that you'll help our young ladies translate these truths and watch for these same character traits in young men. And dear God, to protect them by the wisdom that they've received tonight, to protect them, give them discretion, discernment. Lord Jesus, we grieve tonight. It seems like the Church of Jesus Christ is under wholesale attack. Seems like we have almost weekly another sad story. Somebody let down their guards. Somebody thought they were the exception. Somebody thought they could take fire into their bosom and not be burned. I pray, God, that you'd help us, please. Make good, safe, build good, safe fences in our life. Live by good, safe Bible principles. I pray for every marriage in this room tonight. Lord, I pray for every marriage in this room that you'd protect it. And Lord, maybe some of the things we taught tonight will help. We pray these things in Jesus' name.